Welcome to Health Simplified.
Great to be here.
You know, we hear so much about cholesterol, don't we? Good, bad.
Yeah,
It gets confusing.
it really does. Lots of mixed messages out there.
Exactly. So today, I thought we could really dig in and get a clear picture of what cholesterol actually is.
Good idea. Back to basics.
Yeah, we've pulled together information from, reliable places, Healthline, Harvard Health Publishing, Medline Plus, Mayo Clinic, even BBC Food, NIH, American Heart Association.
Yeah.
A real mix.
Valid sources.
Right. And the goal is basically just to unpack the essentials. What is this stuff? Why does it even matter? And what are these different types like LDL and HDL really about?
Sounds like a plan. Well, to start, cholesterol itself is fundamentally a waxy, sort of fat-like substance.
Taxi. Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually present in every single cell in your body. Everyone.
Wow. Okay. So it's everywhere.
Pretty much. And despite the, the bad rap it sometimes gets, it's absolutely crucial for some really vital jobs. Well, think about hormones, for instance. Things like testosterone, estrogen. Cholesterol is a core building block for making them.
Ah, okay. Didn't realize that connection.
Yep. And also vitamin D. Your body uses cholesterol to synthesize vitamin D when your skin gets sunlight.
Vitamin D too. Important stuff.
Definitely. And one more big one, it's needed to make bile acids.
Bile acids for digestion.
Exactly. They help you digest the fats you eat. So, bottom line, your body genuinely needs cholesterol to work properly. We couldn't function without it.
Okay, that's a really important point. It's not inherently bad. So if we need it, where does it come from? Does our body make it?
It does, yeah. That's the main source, actually. Your liver is kind of the cholesterol factory. It produces all the cholesterol your body requires for those essential functions we just mentioned.
The liver does it all.
Mostly, yes. But we also get cholesterol from some of the foods we eat, specifically animal-based foods.
Like meat and dairy.
Exactly. Things like egg yolks, meat, cheese, they contain dietary cholesterol. But here's where it gets a bit more complicated. It's not just the cholesterol in the food. The types of fats you eat, particularly saturated and trans fats, can actually signal your liver to make more cholesterol.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So eating certain fats makes our body produce more cholesterol itself.
Precisely. Those fats can significantly increase the cholesterol levels circulating in your blood, often more than the cholesterol you eat directly.
That's key. So maybe focusing just on cholesterol content in food is missing the bigger picture.
For many people, yes. The saturated and trans fats often have a much greater impact.
Got it. Now let's talk about the good and bad cholesterol labels. Everyone's heard those terms. What do they actually mean?
Right. So good and bad aren't really describing the cholesterol itself, but rather how it travels through your bloodstream.
How it travels.
Yeah. See, cholesterol is a fat and blood is mostly water. They don't mix well, right?
Like oil and water.
Exactly. So cholesterol needs a ride. It gets packaged into these carrier particles called lipoproteins. Think of them as little transport vehicles.
Lipoproteins.
These lipoproteins carry cholesterol, other fats like triglycerides, and fat-soluble vitamins around your body. And there are different types of these vehicles. The main ones we talk about are LDL and HDL.
Low density lipoprotein and high density lipoprotein.
Got it, LDL and HDL.
And LDL is the one often called bad. Why is that?
Correct. LDL gets the bad label because if you have too much LDL circulating, it can start depositing cholesterol onto the walls of your arteries.
Inside the artery walls.
Yes. Over time, these deposits can build up into something called plaque.
Plaque, like on your teeth, but inside your arteries.
Sort of, but much more dangerous. This buildup process is called atherosclerosis. It makes the arteries narrower and harder.
Which makes it harder for blood to flow.
Exactly. It's like a pipe getting clogged. Reduced blood flow means less oxygen gets to your heart or brain, which significantly increases the risk of serious issues like heart attacks and strokes.
Okay, that makes sense why it's called bad. So what about HDL? Why is that one good?
HDL, or high-density lipoprotein, plays the opposite role, really. It's often called good because it acts like a scavenger.
A scavenger.
Yeah, it goes around collecting excess cholesterol from the artery walls and other parts of the body.
Oh, so it cleans up.
In a way, yes, it transports that cholesterol back to the liver. And once it's back in the liver, the cholesterol can be processed and removed from the body.
So higher HDL levels are protective because they help clear out that potential plaque buildup.
That's the thinking, yes. It helps prevent the issues associated with too much LDL.
Okay. I've also heard of VLDL, very low density lipoprotein. Where does that fit in?
Ah, VLDL. Good point. It's another lipoprotein, sometimes also lumped in with the bad guys. Its main job, though, is transporting triglycerides.
Triglycerides, another type of fat.
Yes, another type of fat in your blood that your body uses for energy. VLDL carries these triglycerides from the liver out to your tissues. It does contain some cholesterol, too, but it's mostly triglycerides.
Does VLDL also contribute to plaque?
It can, yes. High levels of VLDL can also contribute to that plaque buildup in the arteries, similar to LDL, though it's carrying a different primary cargo.
So both LDL and VLDL can be problematic if levels are too high.
Correct. That's why sometimes doctors look at something called non-HDL cholesterol.
Non-HDL? What's that?
It's basically your total cholesterol minus your HDL cholesterol. So it represents the cholesterol carried by all the potentially artery-clogging lipoproteins, LDL, VLDL, and others.
Ah, so it's a combined measure of all the bad or potentially bad stuff.
Exactly. It gives a broader picture of your risk beyond just looking at LDL alone.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Going back to diet, you said saturated and trans fats often have a bigger impact than dietary cholesterol itself. Could you elaborate a bit? What kinds of foods are we talking about?
Sure. Remember, the liver is the main cholesterol factory. Well, eating lots of saturated and trans fats basically tells the factory to work overtime and produce more cholesterol.
Okay.
These fats can also interfere with how effectively your body removes cholesterol from the blood.
So where do we find these fats typically?
Saturated fats are common in red meats, especially fatty cuts, full-fat dairy products like butter, cheese, cream, also things like chocolate, coconut oil, palm oil, and many baked goods and deep-fried foods.
Right. And trans fats?
Trans fats are often found in things like stick margarine, vegetable shortening, pastries, some microwavable popcorns, lots of fried fast foods, some frozen pizzas, even non-dairy coffee creamers. Many are artificially produced, though some occur naturally in small amounts.
Wow, they're in a lot of processed foods.
They often are, yes. So for many individuals, cutting back on those types of foods rich in saturated and trans fats can be more effective for managing blood cholesterol than, say, worrying excessively about the cholesterol in an egg yolk.
That's a really practical takeaway. Focus on the type of fat. Are there factors besides diet that influence cholesterol levels?
Oh, absolutely. Diet is just one piece of the puzzle. Your family history plays a big role. Genetics can predispose you to high cholesterol. There's even a specific genetic condition called familial hypercholesterolemia, or FH.
FH, what does that do?
It causes very, very high levels of LDL cholesterol right from a young age, significantly increasing heart disease risk.
Okay, so genetics are key. What else?
Lifestyle choices are huge. Smoking is a major one. It damages blood vessels and can lower your good HDL cholesterol.
Not good.
Definitely not. Lack of physical activity, a sedentary lifestyle that also tends to lower HDL. Heavy alcohol consumption can raise levels too, particularly triglycerides.
Makes sense. What about age and sex?
Yes, those matter too. Cholesterol levels tend to rise as we get older. And there are differences between men and women. Generally, before menopause, women tend to have lower total cholesterol and higher HDL than men of the same age. After menopause, though, women's LDL levels often increase.
Hormones playing a role again?
Seems likely, yes. Then there are other health conditions, things like diabetes, chronic kidney disease, HIV, lupus, hypothyroidism, even sleep apnea can affect cholesterol levels.
Wow, a lot of connections.
And certain medications can also impact its steroids, some drugs used after organ transplants, even some used for heart conditions or acne. Race and ethnicity can also play a part in typical levels and risk. And of course, being overweight or obese often raises LDL and lowers HDL.
So it's incredibly complex, really. A mix of genetics, lifestyle, age, health conditions.
It really is. That's why personalized advice is so important.
And how would someone even know if they have high cholesterol? You wouldn't feel it, would you?
That's the tricky part, usually. No, high cholesterol itself doesn't cause symptoms. You could have very high levels and feel perfectly fine.
So you need a blood test.
Exactly. A blood test, often called a lipid panel or lipid profile, is the only way to know your levels. That's why regular screening is recommended.
When should people get screened?
Recommendations vary slightly, but generally, kids might get checked between ages 9, 11, and again 17, 21. For adults, screening typically starts around age 20 and is repeated every 4-6 years if levels are normal and risk is low. If you have risk factors like family history, diabetes, smoking, or high blood pressure, you'll likely need more frequent checks.
Okay, regular checks are key. And if the levels are high, what are the potential health problems down the line? We mentioned heart attacks and strokes.
Right. The main issue is the atherosclerosis, the plaque buildup. As arteries narrow and harden, blood flow gets restricted.
Okay.
This can cause angina, which is chest pain, especially during exertion when the heart needs more oxygen. If a piece of plaque breaks off or a blood clot forms on the plaque.
That's when things get really bad.
Yes. If that clot blocks blood flow to the heart muscle, it causes a heart attack. If it blocks blood flow to the brain, it causes a stroke.
Scary stuff.
It can also affect other arteries, leading to conditions like carotid artery disease, affecting blood flow to the brain, or peripheral arterial disease, PAD, reducing blood flow to the legs and feet.
So it impacts the whole circulatory system.
Pretty much anywhere plaque can build up. No, very rarely, extremely high cholesterol, especially due to those genetic conditions like FH, might cause visible signs.
Visible signs. Like what?
You might see yellowish deposits of cholesterol under the skin, particularly around tendons, they call these tendon xanthomata, maybe swellings around knuckles, knees, or ankles, or small yellow bumps near the eyes called xanthelasmas. Sometimes even a whitish ring around the iris of the eye called a corneal arcus, especially in younger people. But these are generally associated with very high, often genetically driven, levels. Most people with high cholesterol have no outward signs at all.
Right, so you can't rely on seeing anything. The blood test is crucial.
Absolutely crucial.
This has been incredibly clarifying. So just to recap the main takeaway.
I'd say it's this. Cholesterol isn't the enemy. It's vital. But the balance of different types, particularly LDL and HDL, is what really matters for your health.
And that balance is affected by way more than just the cholesterol we eat.
Exactly. Diet, especially saturated and trans fats, lifestyle, genetics, age, it's a whole picture. Understanding the difference between LDL, HDL, VLDL, knowing what they do is key.
And knowing your own numbers through testing.
That's essential. Talk to your doctor, understand your risk factors, and get those levels checked regularly. It's the only way to know where you stand and take steps if needed.
Fantastic. Before we wrap up, maybe a final thought for our listeners to consider.
Maybe this. Consider how the types of fats you consume daily might be influencing your body's cholesterol balance, a process far more intricate than simply good versus bad.
That's a great point to ponder. It really highlights the complexity we've been discussing.
It does. It's not just black and white.
Thank you for taking the time out to listen to our deep dive. Until next time, stay healthy and stay informed.